Raised Rowdy.
All right, guys, well, welcome back to the Raised Rowdy Podcast. I'm Nikki T.
And I'm Matt Burrill.
And we are here with our good buddy, Mr. Cole Barnhill.
What's going on, y'all? How's it going?
Bro, so good. Thanks for popping in before our basement show tonight.
Absolutely.
That'll be our second time having you at the basement with a little bit of Raised Rowdy promo on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. We really appreciate y'all guys getting us out here every time.
Bro, of course. Yeah, our first two in-town ticketed shows, both with you, brother.
Hell yeah. Yeah. We'll take it.
Yeah. Yeah, man. That first one was wild. And I had not seen you full band before. I'd heard all about it, and I'd seen clips on Instagram and TikTok. But you just come in and just punch the crowd right in the mouth. You and the boys just bring the rock stuff. I'm very excited for the show tonight, brother.
Hell yeah, dude. I mean, that's a plan. We always try to come out ball swinging every show. I mean, yeah, got to give it to them how you can. So,
dude, it was so telling. Like, we got in that room. You guys started playing. And the booking agent was like, we got to get him back here immediately. Like, literally, as soon as you started playing, he was like, I want more of this.
That's badass. Hell yeah, man.
That's a testament to what you're doing. And, you know, it's a venue like that that gets every kind of genre that rolls through it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I heard some cool stories about that place.
Yes. Which y'all were telling me. So many legendary names that have gone there, popped up there, announced or unannounced, and it's just like a really legendary spot. So having, you know, Gil, the guy that, you know, booking that,
yeah,
really take notice right away is super sick.
Yeah, dude. It's always cool going into venues, you know, have some sort of backstory. Just with crazy bands that we all grew up listening to, just being on the same stage as those people is always just something absolutely mind-blowing to all of us. Just holy shit, Metallica played on this stage, or crazy, whoever the hell we're dreaming about, and see that they've played whatever. It's always super cool to see.
Yeah, you see that a lot in Texas.
Yeah,
with Texas, Oklahoma, and Red Dirt Country, and you're coming up in an era where, like, the Cobro thing of, like, Ragweed doing it back in the day, and then guys like Colby Cooper, Pecos on the Rooftops, they've kind of kicked the door down. Now there's all you kids coming up just rocking out of Texas, man.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. I mean, I definitely think there's kind of a movement towards the rock side of everything, which I love because I grew up on all that stuff. So it's great to see kind of the shift that's being allowed to happen, I guess, in people's minds towards kind of the rock side of whatever you want to call our genre.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, it's as close to an alternative thing as we have.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's for like, sure.
And the basis of it really is from Texas,
yeah,
which is crazy.
Absolutely. I mean, we always just try to classify ourselves as Texas music because I don't know of a better way to do it. I mean, a lot of my older stuff was, I'd call it country to the bone for sure. And I mean, coming into now, it's definitely getting more rock heavy. So I have zero clue where to place it at this point. And I think that a lot of people in Texas have just kind of molded into their own music scene at some point. It's cool to see that Nashville is kind of starting to embrace it. Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Yeah, dude, absolutely. I remember Corey Kent tweeting out one time, rock and roll didn't die. It just moved to Texas.
I saw that
tweet. With a pirate flag. And that was a couple of years ago.
Yeah,
and it's very accurate. And it's like you bring in, like Nick was saying, those grunge alternative vibes.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's cool. But what's also cool is that you, all different sides of that are going in Texas right now. Yep. You have your guys in cowboy hats, you have your guys that are a little bit more Nashville leaning, your Parkers, your Ty Myers, your Hudson Westbrooks, and then you have guys like yourself, and you guys are getting the tour of the whole country.
Yeah, for sure. We're actually, this is headed out on our first big ass tour with Austin Mead. Next week is
so
when we start. Yeah, we're super excited for that, hitting everywhere up and down the East Coast. So
yeah. And we will be at that show when you guys are in town here too.
Heck yeah, next week.
we'll be there, bro. We're very excited. Sam's coming down for that one
too,
which will be sick.
Heck yeah.
He's actually boys with Austin, and that's kind of how we met.
Oh,
Sam.
Really?
Yeah. Was we covered Austin. We had him on my podcast when I lived with Joe Fortner, right when I moved to town. And Sam kind of found Raised Rowdy through that.
Heck yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So it's like full circle stuff.
Yeah, I'm super excited. I think going on with Austin would be really cool. I mean, I think our music jives really well together. And
100%.
I think we'll put on a good show together. We've done a couple before, so
yeah,
definitely already know that they're going to be good, but really excited to get to do, I think we're doing 15 with them. So
that's so great.
It's a good block of dates right there.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's the longest any of us have ever been gone. So
one bro, like we had him and Willie stay with us when they were like, this is back in the day, like during COVID kind of. And man, like they're just such great characters and so much fun to be around too.
Yeah. You know absolutely, what I mean? For sure.
Just the whole, their whole band's a great crew.
Yeah, absolutely. We're super excited to do it. Just getting out there all along the East Coast is just never been out that direction, just a vacation or anything. So we're all super excited to get out there and put on a rock show for everybody.
Man, it's going to be great.
Yeah, yeah, it's going to be badass, man. So backing up, for those that don't know about you, where in Texas are you from and how old are you and when did you kind of get your start doing this music thing?
I'm 23 years old, grew up, born and bred in Lubbock, Texas. Still haven't left the damn place.
God bless Lubbock, bro. The Blue Light, right? Yes, that's the club
yeah.
out there.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Blue Light's where we call home for sure. I've been playing out there since I was probably 17, before they would even... Normally, you have to be 18 to do the open mic night out there, the singer-songwriter night, which is kind of what they're known for. Mm-hmm. Guys like Flatland, William Clark Green, Josh Abbott, and all them got their start doing that. So that's kind of what they're known for. I started doing that when I was 17 out there, just kind of picking around the Lubbock music scene. I mean, it's... I definitely think it's the best music scene in Texas. Just the amount of guys that have come out of there and the amount of people that give a shit about live music in Lubbock is something nowhere else really has that I can really think of. I mean, Austin kind of, but definitely our type of music or whatnot, Lubbock's a place to be. Yeah. So growing up there, you just hear about all the guys that have been rolling through the Blue Light my entire life and whatnot, and just wanted to do something like that, I guess. Ended up starting to play music and finally got a band together and been doing that for the last 4 or 5 years now, and it's been real good.
Grinding, man.
Yeah.
I know, like, when we had you guys up the first time when you played at Live Oak with us, we did, like, the Yellow Rose Presents kind of show.
Yeah.
It's strikingly different than what was happening in the scene at that time, which wasn't that long ago. No. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it's starting to be more and more what is bubbling up. You know, there's, and country's become such a wildly vast genre.
For sure.
That,
for
like,
sure.
the rock scene's bubbling up, you know, yeah. and the R&B scene's freaking bubbling up. You know, it's a little bit of everything, but it's cool to see Nashville kind of embracing that style of music, which for me, I mean, you have a freaking Nirvana shirt on right now. Like, that's what I grew up on.
Yeah, for sure. You know? I mean, yeah, it's super cool. Growing up in Texas, we're bred to hate Nashville, if I'm being honest. I mean, just
we know.
Don't ever go to freaking Nashville, blah, blah, blah.
The gap has closed.
Oh, that's what I'm saying. I think I've come to realize with age, I guess, with my 23 years of age, like, hell, I mean, they're embracing us just as much as Texas has. So that's all you can ask for. I mean, maybe if the situation was different, I could still hate and say whatever the hell I want. But as long as y'all... Everybody can embrace what we're doing and just want to listen to good music. Like, I got no problem with whoever. Well,
the world is a much smaller place now because of social media.
Yeah.
You know, like, you can be anywhere in the world and get your music to people.
Absolutely.
Which is crazy.
Yeah.
So, like, where previously it was, like, even, like, just in life, the things that your friends said were the things that you said.
Yeah.
Right? That's all you knew.
Yeah. Because that's all you had.
Yeah.
And maybe you'd find something on a television show or on a movie and you'd pick that up and put it into your vernacular.
Yeah.
Well, now it's like anybody from anywhere can say something and it can catch. you know?
For sure.
But music's even more than that.
Absolutely.
Music is like the lifeblood of what society, in my opinion. So, like, and you can get that. You could have a pocket of fans in Ohio that really understand what you're doing, and you could hopefully sell some tickets there.
Yeah, for sure.
You know?
I mean, we, as of right now, I mean, our ticketed things are kind of hit or miss every once in a while.
Yeah. Well, that's how it starts.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you got to cut your teeth somehow. So, but like, we went to Kansas maybe 2 weeks ago, which is, hell, 10 hours from where we grow up or where we come from. And I mean, we had 100 some odd people, 180 people, something like that.
Where in Kansas were you?
Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh, Kansas.
Yeah, southeast Kansas.
Nice.
But yeah, I mean, just kind of random places, you know, that'll just really accept us really good and just have a great fan base out there. And it's always super cool to see just going out far places, people that are jamming our stuff and whatnot.
Yeah. I remember going back to the Nashville, Texas thing. I used to sell merch for the Muscadine Bloodline guys.
Yeah.
And I remember my first time to Texas with them was opening for Co. And I remember we were doing a show. It was at Heritage Hall in Ardmore, Oklahoma. And I remember some guy coming up to me and being like, "What are y'all doing here? You ain't from Texas. This band's from Alabama." And I remember, and that was 2019. Now, a band like Muscadine go out to Texas and sell out Billy Bob's like they're doing this weekend.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so it's like, again, it's not that removed, but you're part of like this wave where you're able to really go anywhere and you can come out here and write songs and have homies out here.
Yeah,
and it's
for sure.
The culture's not that different.
Yeah, that's been really cool, is just kind of getting involved into the Nashville community out here. That was never really something I saw after whatsoever, but I mean, I see how much of a benefit that just how cool everybody is out here and accepting, just willing to want to get together and write a good song. I mean, that's all it comes down to at the end of the day. Everybody just wants to get together and write the next hit, write the next good song. I mean, there's no, I haven't really seen any sort of hostility or any sort of anything like that. I think it's awesome. Like, I mean,
that's really it. It's everybody wants to see someone else that's doing great things because it makes them want to do even more great things.
Yeah, for sure. You know, absolutely. Which is sick. Yeah, I mean, you got to surround yourself with people that are doing better than you if you want to improve yourself. Doing better. Yeah, for sure.
And it's cool too, man. Like, you see guys in the rock scene, you know, that were metalheads or were in bands like Lakeview.
Yeah.
Those guys were in freaking hardcore bands.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah. Absolutely.
You know, and like guys like Bayless, who was, you know, in a rock band, like a heavy rock band. Now he's here producing and writing.
Yeah.
And he has a whole crew of people that like are his homies that are, I mean, they write rock songs.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely.
It's nuts.
Yeah. I mean, it's super cool how the rock has been starting to get more accepted, especially with stuff like Hardy and whatnot.
Yeah.
I mean, definitely look up to him and what he's been doing. Super cool.
Big crossover.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. But the fact that you can kind of, I don't know, steal fans from both sides is a cool thing. You can steal fans from people that only listen to rock or steal fans from people that only listen to country.
Yeah.
So being able to combine both genres is something we're trying to do.
Yeah. Well, and that's a kind of a cheat code, right? It's the same thing as when you're looking at like collaborations with artists. You can kind of take both of those fan bases and make them one. Right. You can do that just with your music.
Yeah.
Right. So it's like Hardy went from being a country hit maker to putting out straight up rock records.
Yes, absolutely.
Right.
Yeah.
And how do you do that? Well, you do that by attacking like Five Finger Death Punch's fan base, you know,
absolutely.
And then you mix those with the ones that you already had from the country fan base.
Yeah.
And that's how you go from selling 300 tickets to 600 or 3,000 to 6,000.
Yeah, absolutely. You know? So we got the Treaty Oak Revival Boys on Daydreams.
Love that one, dude.
How did that happen?
Dude,
you boys with them?
I mean, the first time I ever met them, it just kind of came up. We were doing we were opening up for them for New Year's Day back in 24, I guess. And that was the first time I'd ever met them. I mean, we had just kind of briefly talked over Instagram and whatnot, but we were doing that New Year's show, and Sam had just mentioned something about getting together and writing and doing a song together, and
that sounds great.
So I made sure to stay in his ear, and we made sure to get that done. We came down here, and I wrote about, got like half a song done with Phil Mosley and David Ray Stevens. We were just doing some writing and whatnot, and we got like half of what came to be Daydreams done one day. Just went ahead, and me and Sam have been sending each other just songs we were working on back and forth, deciding what we wanted to collab on, and I sent him that one, and within 15 minutes he'd sent me back a verse, and I was like, well, that's it. So he's crazy. I mean, he can bust out a banging ass verse in 10 minutes, and I mean, that's
crazy.
Yeah, he's an absolutely insane songwriter.
Yeah, one of my favorite bands to watch right now live is Treaty Oak.
Yeah, absolutely.
Treaty Oak show just does it. Like,
yeah,
it's
absolutely,
the crowd is wild. Yeah, the crowd is wild. You talk about like doing the being more middle of the road to like Texas country when you were coming up. When did the switch flip to like, I want to rock out?
Honestly, I feel like when I got a little bit better at guitar, when I could play a little more rocky stuff on guitar. I don't know. I feel like that was like the music we're making right now is the music I always wanted to make. And when I was 16, 17, writing songs, still learning how to play guitar, I guess. I mean, no shade to country, just doing G, C, and D, whatever. I mean, that's just kind of how a lot of songs are written and whatnot. But I don't know, just kind of fiddling around, playing rockier riffs, I guess, just kind of made me want to do that. Just growing up, listening to 80s and 90s rock. I guess my body just always told me to lean a little more rock-sided.
I was going to say, like, what did your parents raise you on music-wise?
Definitely 80s rock and 90s country, for sure. I got into grunge a lot later because my dad grew up hating grunge because he said it ruined 80s metal or 80s hair metal. So he grew up hating Pearl Jam and Nirvana, so I really didn't get introduced to them until, I don't know, 2015 or so. And then fell back in love with that. So, but yeah, 80s rock for sure is, I always said if I could sing any genre, it'd be 80s rock, but I can't sing like Axl or anybody like that. So we're sticking to this.
That's cool though. And I mean, you definitely hear some of that in your stuff too.
Yeah.
You
know what I mean? Yeah, definitely for sure.
The grunge factors. And what about like on your mom's side? What did she listen to?
My mom's side. So her uncle, my great uncle, is actually a Texas Playboy for Bob Wills.
Okay.
So definitely grew up with a lot of that Western swing type stuff. Yeah. She's a huge Alan Jackson fan. So always jamming Alan Jackson and stuff for sure with her.
That's how I grew up too. My dad was that though. You know, he was like AJ, all the 90s country hits.
Yeah. Yeah. My dad was definitely all 90s, but my mom had a huge crush on Alan Jackson. So
that mustache, man.
Oh, I know. That's what I'm trying to work on right now.
The mustache is back, bro. A lot of guys got it.
It is, dude.
Hey, you got a mustache.
I do. That's what I'm saying. I got a mustache. That's what I'm saying. We're doing it, man. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I actually dressed up with Tyler, your old roommate.
Yeah.
We decided one year. This is back when we first moved here. Very cringy looking back. Tyler dressed up as Luke Combs. People always thought he was Luke. This is back when if you wore a flannel shirt and a trucker hat and you were over 250 pounds, people thought you were Luke. And then I shaved my thing and just had like the goatee and I was Hardy. And it was a wild Halloween.
Nice.
Halloween 2019. BC before COVID, baby.
Oh, what a chaotic time.
Wild times. So talking about Daydreams, that was your last release, right?
Yeah. We're actually releasing one tomorrow, though.
That's
Hell yeah.
A cover of a Puddle of Mud song, Psycho.
Oh, yeah.
Fuck yes.
With Matt James from Blacktop Mojo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We love Matt. He was just out here, did our Nothing Fancy takeover.
Yeah.
Freaking awesome.
Oh, dude, the pipes on that, man.
Those boys crushed.
Dude, watching people's faces, because we had Dylan Wheeler, we had Braden Stewart, and we had Matt James closing out the night.
The three best voices I could name off the top of my head.
And everybody's in there. And of course, them being guys not out here a whole lot, the crowd just didn't quite know. Everybody's networking, talking. And then they start singing. Everybody's like, who the hell are these guys?
Dude, I'm
like,
telling,
East Texas is in the house.
Were they
baby.
All three just together?
Yeah, it was all three of them together, God, closing out the night, four songs apiece.
I mean, those are the three best voices you can ask for. That's kick ass.
It was so sick.
Hell yeah.
And then we got to, we actually cut a video with Braden that we'll be releasing, I don't know exactly when, but over here, like in this little studio.
Oh, yeah.
Yesterday. And Charlie, who like does the audio for us, he's like, I always trust you when you bring me someone, Nick. No, they're going to be good. Dude,
Braden is kick ass.
He is.
19 years old. It's
wild.
He's going to be awesome.
And that good at guitar, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He can shred.
Yeah, what's it like being a part of like you, Sterling, Braden? Like, there's this young crop of just talent coming up together. Like, you guys seem to have like this brotherhood friendship thing going
for sure.
on. What's
I
that
mean,
like?
Love all those guys. They're all super cool. I mean, I think it's great. We're all kind of somewhat making similar music for sure. I mean, but it's definitely cool coming up with some younger cats.
Yeah.
I mean, just all kind of trying to do the same shit and build each other, play shows together,
dude,
use each other's fans as much as we can and build each other from spreading the love, you know?
Bro, that is the power.
Yeah.
I mean, you see that with like Morgan Wallen with Hardy and Ernest.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you know what I mean?
For sure. I mean,
if you have other folks that are talented as fuck around you, like why not bring them up together and like just be family?
For sure.
And then when someone gets a big swing, it helps everyone.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, there's countless guys that have been doing that. So, I mean, it's just got to be the way to go. You know, there's no hostility towards anybody. I mean, just bring everybody up with you. I mean, there's no hurt if the guy right next to you is doing great. It's probably helping you out, too, if you got the same fans.
He's probably putting you on the show. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. So, I mean, that's all. I think everybody kind of understands that we roll around with and just kind of want to build each other from the ground up as much as we can and help each other out.
That's the way to do it, man.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. What is some of like the shows where you're like, I feel like this is really starting to take a foothold? You know, like I know you said like some markets are more, some are less.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, yeah, like I said, it's hit or miss always. But yeah, you get those shows where you're 12 hours from home and you got 50 people in the crowd singing your songs. And I mean, that's just a feeling that's almost unable to describe. I mean, just worked hard to write an amp song, worked hard to record it, worked hard to put it out for a live show, and just being able to have people hear it and understand it and have some sort of emotional connection to want to learn the lyrics and be able to yell it back at you. I mean, that's just one of the coolest feelings ever. And I mean, it makes everything worth it always.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, it makes that 12 hours getting out there worth it, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
How was the ride getting out here?
Not too bad.
Did you guys hit snow coming out here?
Because no.
I know some, like, Midwest got some snow yesterday.
Yeah, no snow. We came from Lubbock yesterday and made it to Forest City, Arkansas. So about 12 hours of driving.
Crazy.
Tried to make a shorter trip today. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we'll go up to Virginia on Saturday and then make our way back down to Tulsa on Tuesday.
At least you got a couple
to start
days.
The Austin Meade tour.
Yeah.
Bunch of driving these next couple weeks, but we're excited, ready to go and be some road dogs.
Yeah. Who normally does the driving?
Normally split between me and my other guitar player, Kevin.
Okay.
Yeah, we normally split it up every once in a while. Someone else might hop up there, but for the most part, it's us two. Neither of us mind driving, so it doesn't hurt too bad. Finally got in a better whip than the old Expedition with 300,000 miles, so we're all happy.
Yeah, what are we rolling around in now?
We got the 2019 Transit. Shout out the Dexter and the Moonrock boys for giving us a great deal on her last week. Shout out. Yeah. Fox's dad. Yeah.
Dude, that's what it's all about, though. And it's like, man, watching those guys crush has been awesome, too.
Yeah, absolutely. Those are the best dudes. So, I can't remember when it was. Back before, I think they just started as a band. They were opening for one of my buddies at Blue Light. And he was one of my good buddies. He's like, hey, you mind if me and the opening band come hang out at your house before the show? So I met all those guys a while ago, long ass time ago, through him, got to watch him and whatnot. I was like, pretty badass. I think they had one song that my buddy had produced out at the time. And then within 6 months, doing all their TikTok stuff. Fox is so damn good at that and just getting them out there, and they have great songs to back it up. I mean, just an absolute explosion. And I mean, they're the greatest dudes ever. We got to do Austin with them at Emo's out there last week. About 1,500 people. I mean, just screaming every damn word of their songs. Yeah. They're salt of the earth guys, though. Great dudes.
When it shows you, like, music has to be good, right?
Yeah.
But it can just take a moment.
Oh, for sure.
And then it can just turn into a rocket ship, man.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, all it takes is one.
Yeah. Yep. The right people to see it, the right moment to capture itself. Yeah,
absolutely.
You know, and just keep fucking pushing.
For sure. For
sure. Super cool.
Yeah. Why is Lubbock the best college town? Maybe in the country, but definitely in Texas. Like, talk about that hometown, because you having Tech right there is, and I know there's College Station. I know Waco gets a little wild sometimes. Yeah. Like, I know there's some good college towns out there, but what makes Lubbock so special? Aside from just the music scene.
Yeah, I mean, I think the music scene is definitely something that boosts up just the overall vibe of Lubbock. But, I mean, everyone always says there's nothing to do in Lubbock besides drink. So that might be another thing that helps it boost up a little bit. You might not be sober when you're making these decisions on what's the best college town. But, no, I don't know. There's just something about Lubbock. Everybody's friendly. Everybody gets along. It's a... I've loved growing up there, for sure. It's just been a great place. Pretty much know everybody by now, it seems like. But I don't know. It's a great community. The sports are finally trying to get better. So that definitely helps out the college aspect. But I don't know. Tech was a great place. I actually have my degree from Tech.
Oh, nice.
I got that during COVID. But Tech's always been super cool. Just growing up, going to their basketball and football games and whatnot. But super cool college town to grow up in.
Who do you hate more, the Horns or the Aggies? Who's the bigger rival?
In my mind, definitely UT. I mean,
just because they're like big brother. Right? I mean, no, but that's the way you look at it. Like, I'm a Yankees fan. Everybody hates my team, you know? It's the same kind of thing.
I wouldn't call them big brother, even though they are, for sure. But nobody in Lubbock will admit to that.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, definitely don't like either of them. Probably, honestly, now I'm kind of leaning towards A&M because every fucking time we go to play in College Station, I get a parking ticket. Like, oh, my God, the past 3 times we've gone, you can't park at the venue and not get a parking ticket.
Oh, no.
It's ridiculous, dude. I swear to God, fix that, please.
Please, whoever's listening from that area.
We'll have to have Keller put in. Our buddy Keller Cox was a yell leader over there.
Yeah?
He was part of that crew when he was in school at A&M. So he might have some pull. Yeah, that's what they're called, right?
Oh yeah, that might make me hate A&M a little more too.
Yeah, you know about the yell leader thing, right? Have you seen that?
Is that like a cheerleader?
The guy cheerleaders. Yeah.
There's what?
With the horn?
Yeah, it's like 3 or 4 of them, and they lead like the night before the game. They y'all go.
Weird ass chance.
That, yeah, it's like a different thing, but it only happens at A&M. And Keller had that. It's like a prestigious position at A&M. Yeah. They go nuts.
Oh yeah, it. Well, because it's their cheerleaders. They don't have cheerleaders, I don't believe.
Yeah, no girl cheerleaders. Yeah, it's just the tall guys.
Sounds terrible.
Yeah, it sounds something.
That was Keller.
Sounds something like Aggies would do to me.
Can we get like triple the amount of cheerleaders? That sounds better.
Especially in Texas.
Oh my God, yeah.
That's There's a lot of that out there. So Nick had asked, we'd asked you before, like, some of your favorite places that you've gone to. Where do you want to go? Like, where are some places you haven't been yet that you're like, I want to see how my stuff works here?
Oh, shit. I mean, this is probably for a personal reason, but I really want to go to the Pacific Northwest a lot, yeah, just to see that region. It'd be awesome to play up there for sure, which hopefully we'll get on the Highway 30 Fest with Gordy out there.
Oh, yeah. Uncle Gordy.
Yeah, yeah. We were supposed to be on it at the Motor Speedway in Texas this year. But that got canceled, so hopefully we'll get on it in Idaho. But, yeah, that's definitely a region of the U.S. I just want to see. So that's definitely somewhere I would want to go and check out and see if we can spice it up a little bit.
Yeah. Festivals are weird. We've been talking about that a lot. Like, but it's like guys like Austin Mead have crossed over and they're like doing rock festivals,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, for sure.
So like, I think that's super cool. Like getting to watch him, you know, play the same day that you're just like, there's like deathcore happening directly after on another,
yeah,
stage.
Absolutely. I mean, that's kind of what my goal is to be able to split between doing those rock festivals, yeah, and whatever country festivals and, mm-hmm, shit at the same time. I don't know how feasible that is just because promoters and whatnot might just want strictly rock or strictly country, and I might be phasing myself out of both, but I mean, I think we can fit ourselves into both, yeah, genres at the end of the day.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, getting on a festival like that would be killer for sure.
That's nuts.
Yeah.
And it's cool, like, to just watch, because the rock crowd and the country crowd are not the same crowd.
No, not at all.
Especially at a festival.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like a very different vibe.
Yeah.
But it's cool to watch people engage, you know, different people with different genres.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Just kind of see what they like the most.
Yeah. It's always fun seeing people that aren't expect, like a country person not expecting to see a rock show, watch a rock show, or vice, yeah, versa. I mean, and them enjoy it, yep, you know, just like, huh, this, yeah, is not what I was expecting, but hell yeah. I mean, that's all I can ask for. Just, I mean, if you like a damn song, you like a damn song. I don't, yep, hate any genre out there. I mean, if it's a good song, it's a good song. Yeah, there's, yeah, no barrier that makes it a good song just because it's this genre or whatnot. So,
yeah, you've gotten to do a lot of opening slots, and you've got the Austin tour coming up.
Yeah,
what's up? Has there been a moment where you're like, "Fuck yeah, I won the crowd over"? Where like you get in front of somebody's crowd on one of these opening runs, and you're like, "I got them."
I mean, I'm never intentionally like trying to. Well, no, I mean, I'm trying to win the crowd over.
I'm
for
trying
sure.
for the crowd if they don't know who you are,
yeah,
going in.
For
like
sure.
the moment,
for
like
sure.
moments where you're like, okay, these people fuck with my stuff.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I feel like that normally comes about halfway through the set most of the time. Definitely catch some blank stares first few songs for sure. So you got to try and do something in there to get them going a little bit. I mean, you're the opener, you're playing to someone else's crowd that probably doesn't know you. So. Got to have some sort of shock value, I guess, if that makes sense.
Yep.
And so, I don't know. It's always cool when the crowd finally comes around, though. Sometimes it takes a little more than others, but there's other times, like that New Year's show we did with Treaty Oak. I mean, straight out of the fucking gate. They were just ready to go. Just,
they got it.
Oh, my God. Yeah, they were ready to go. But, yeah, I mean, they come around for sure. Sometimes it takes longer than others. I mean, that's just sometimes depending on the crowd and who they are and whatnot, but it's always fun seeing that,
yeah,
kind of click eventually, you know.
How early in the set does the tarp come off?
that kind of depends normally. Normally when I start getting sweaty because I need a damn shirt for after the show.
Yeah.
But I'm a sweater, so I'm not trying to finish the show my shirt look like I came out of the shower. I'd rather just be half naked, looking like I came out of the shower.
That was the one that was. I remember turning around. I'm like, oh fuck, he's got his. He all of a sudden,
it just disappeared.
Shirt off. I remember that at the basement show. I turned around. I'm like, all right, I guess they're turning it into an upper gear now. The tarps are off, and we're really fucking. Like, I already thought we were going. Now we're really,
yeah,
going.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, that'll definitely help flip a switch sometimes. Mm-hmm. Just like, oh shit, they can. We can take our damn shirts off. Let's get after it.
It's that kind of party.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Yeah, so it's always funny hearing the take your pants off chants and you're always like, coming from guys.
Yeah, what's the weirdest thing you've heard from a crowd?
Definitely take your pants off for sure, but the only problem is it's always from a guy.
So. Yeah. Oh. Not who you want to hear it from.
Oh, yeah. Every time, without fail. Without fail.
That's how it goes sometimes. So we talked about, like, you know, you getting from, like, your parents' music and then getting into grunge rock. Like, what are some of the bands or songs even from grunge that, like, really hit home with you?
So I have a portrait of Kurt Cobain hanging above my bed. I'll say that. So that would definitely be number one.
Yeah.
But, I mean, just within that kind of era, I mean, Audio Slave, stuff like that. Loved The Offspring for a while. Mm-hmm. Pearl Jam, but yeah, I mean, it's a bunch of those that I kind of got into a lot later, especially like the early 2000s type stuff. I just kind of always grew up thinking rock had died, if I'm being completely honest.
Yeah,
just because that was kind of what my dad grew up telling me, like, they ruined rock soon as 1990 hit, fucking ain't no more Guns N' Roses and whatnot. So, like, I mean, I grew up listening Nickelback and all that shit. Fucking love Nickelback, and I'm still pissed at y'all for not fucking having me out when Nickelback was here.
Yeah, well, they weren't in the building. It was Chad's birthday, so they were in Cabo. But it was like to celebrate their live album. Like, yeah. Next time we do a butt rock night, we will have you, and you can play your favorite Nickelback, Limp Bizkit, whatever song from that era.
Let's go.
You want to play some butt rock? We'll get you on some butt rock.
Fuck yeah,
Cole Barnhill, you will be on butt rock.
Let's
night.
Go,
bro. It's so much fun. And we, it's funny enough you mentioned Audio Slave because, like, we had Carly Scott Collins, and she was like, "Can I sing Audio Slave?" And we were like, "Well, that's not butt rock, but yes."
Yeah. Sick, show me how to live.
Yeah. Bro, she fucking smoked it.
Fuck
too.
Yeah. So yeah, we actually, I don't know if anybody ever catches it, but our intro and outro is two Audio Slave songs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Dude, cool. I remember when Audio Slave, because I was a huge Rage Against the Machine fan.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I was a huge Soundgarden fan. And so, like, when both of those bands were broken up and they were like, there's a super band coming back, and it's going to be Rage Against the Machine, but instead of Zach, it's going to be freaking Cornell. I was like, this is a joke. They're messing with my head. That's like my two favorite bands on the planet. There's no way that this exists. They're lying. And then it happened, and I was like, and it was good.
Oh, my God.
Because you're worried.
Oh, yeah.
You're worried they're going to fuck it up.
For sure.
You're like, oh, Soundgarden's so good. Rage is so good.
Yeah.
They're probably going to fuck it up.
Yeah, they're lying to fuck it up. Yeah.
How is Tom Morello going to work with Cornell? Like, how can this happen?
And it was great. Okay. And not just the first record, but then the corresponding projects as well.
Yeah, for sure. You get Hank in here, my bass player. That's the biggest Audio Slave fan you'll ever meet in your life.
Dude, they're so good. I was in seventh grade, and, like, all the T-shirts that I had that were band T-shirts were Rage Against the Machine T-shirts, you know? And I had, like, one
Soundgarden.
They even
let you wear those at school?
I was in a Catholic school? Absolutely not. Yeah. I didn't even get to wear them, like, on dress down days.
And now you're running a company called Razor Addy.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, man.
Degeneracy for a living, baby. Cheers. Yeah. Cheers to that.
Cheers. And my water bottle. Glad you're enjoying the surf sides, too, bud.
Yeah, these are
Yeah, we can. We'll send you home with a 4-pack of them. Maybe an extra one since you got some friends
the
out
boys.
There. Talk about the band and the crew you've got out here with you too. The guys that are hanging out there in the lobby.
Yeah. So Jacob, my drummer, he's been with me since the get go. I mean, I think I was probably 18, maybe pushing 19 when I first met him in Lubbock. We had a band, three other guys, rock and rolling for a little while. Nothing bad between us or whatnot, just kind of ended up getting our new guys, got Hank, saw him at a show in at the Blue Light, actually, and we just got to chit-chat and whatnot, and he was just filling in, looking for a band, and I was looking for a damn bass player at the time. Things just melded perfectly together. Kevin, one of the guitar players, he actually played on my first two songs that I ever released when I was 17, I believe. I'd been playing at an open jam at this place called The Spoon. Spoon is legendary in Lubbock. But there's an open jam there every Wednesday, and the band he was in was the house band at the time. And so they were all gracious enough to me after going there for a few weeks and whatnot. I had some songs I wanted to record, so those three guys went and cut Medicine Man and Cocaine and Caffeine with me. But they were never a part of my band. I didn't have a band or anything at that time. So Kevin never ended up playing with me for however long, but always kept in touch and whatnot, and ended up needing a guitar player. And he was kind of in between bands at the time, so I hit him up, and it was just perfect timing. That's already great. Knew two songs that we had, so
there's a plus.
Yeah, hell yeah. And then old Andy, he's in Tyler, so we live in Lubbock, and he's in Tyler. That's 7 fucking hours.
I was gonna say that's a big distance. Yeah,
we're all kind of spread out. But yeah, Andy just got his ass off the side of the road. I swear, he's something else. But yeah, I've had these guys. This same band for about 1.5 years now, and things have been going great. Yeah,
love man, them. It's like you become brothers.
Yeah,
you
absolutely. Know?
You're around each other that much for this long road trips as you guys are on now, specifically going out to the East Coast and stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. We're gonna be gone a little over a month, so we'll see if we're not at each other's throats by halfway through.
You will be, but some of my favorite stories of my life have been traveling. Not like the bus was cool, the bandwagon was cool, fly dates are fun, but there's something about being in the van with the boys. Yeah. Having nowhere else to go, no bunk alley to go hide in. Like, you're in it with your bros, you know?
Everybody's pissed off but happy at the same time they're doing it, you know?
Because it's like, would you rather be sitting at a desk?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's what we were all talking about. We're like, the money doesn't make sense doing this bullshit. We got in the wrong fucking business if we're in it for money. But goddamn, would we rather be doing the bullshit we'd be back home doing? Like, fuck no.
One dude, I talked to Matt. I'm like, bro, like the stories that you have from being on the road, just the stories.
Yeah.
Is worth all of that time you spent doing it.
It's worth the hell.
Yeah, it's like they can
just sound fake, and they're not though.
No, they're very real, and luckily I'm alive to tell them. But what do you do to stay occupied when you're on those long trips? Ooh. I know you said you're usually behind the wheel, which I always liked being behind the wheel. One, I was the TM and merch guy, so it was like it made sense. Like, you're the guy driving.
Yeah,
but it seems to go faster when you're behind the wheel.
Sure.
For me,
for sure, I'm just not stuck playing on my damn phone the whole time, so. I don't know if it just helps a little bit. This will definitely be more fun to drive around instead of just going in Texas everywhere we've been a million times before. And
you just seeing oil rigs going up and down.
Seeing the same shit. So I'm sure I'll be able to keep my mind real occupied driving through uncharted territories.
Bucky snack. You pull up on a Bucky's. What is Cole Barnhill getting?
Probably the habanero cheddar. I think it's habanero cheddar. Beaver nuggets.
I didn't even know they made spicy beaver nugs. We might not have that yet. Texas might not have let that out. Because they have things that you don't know this yet. They have things at the Texas Bucky's that they don't have at the outside of Texas Bucky's.
Like I can't believe they let it out of Texas.
They gatekeep the good Bucky shit in Texas. They don't even let Oklahoma have it.
That's funny.
As it should be.
Because we got them all. You guys will pass 2 or 3 Bucky's on your way up to Virginia.
Yeah.
When you guys are going up there. And you'll see, but like... There's some of the essentials, but there's stuff you're like, they should have this.
Good.
But they don't have it yet.
I think that's good. I can't let y'all have everything. I mean,
we get the good stuff, but not all the good
stuff. Invent something cool that y'all want to send to Texas and y'all can gatekeep it too.
Yeah, we do that. It's called chlamydia.
I was not expecting that. We have Whataburger here too now.
Similar to chlamydia.
Yeah. Something like that. Just about. Are you one of those Texas guys that's like, no burger's better than my Whataburger? Fuck you if you don't like Whataburger.
Dude, I was.
There's a lot of you guys out there that are like,
I was, for sure. And then they sold out to some fucking company in Chicago or something. It's gone downhill. It ain't. I still eat the hell out of Whataburger, don't get me wrong, but it ain't what it used to be. I'll say that much. It ain't what it was when I was going to it after high school football games and bullshit.
Yeah.
So. It's still Whataburger. Still has a special place in my heart. The patty melt, but
does In-N-Out trigger you as a Whataburger guy? Because I've had full on like that's how you get a Texas guy heated. Bring up, have you ever had In-N-Out animal style?
You
just blows
son
away
of
water.
A bitch.
Oh, they freak out.
No, I wish we had a damn In-N-Out in Lubbock. That's about the only damn restaurant we don't have. I feel like at this point.
We're getting one here. We're getting one before you guys, which blows my mind because usually they start out west and work their way east.
Yeah, yeah.
They're skipping over Lubbock.
Well, we went to a place we don't have called Cookout today.
Oh,
dude, I saw that shit on TikTok that you can get an entree as your side or whatnot. And I was like,
we're
fixing to hit the southeast. We got to hit these. Yeah. We were pulling into Chick-fil-A today and it was packed as hell. And right across the street was one of those. I was like, pulling right the fuck in.
Yeah.
Come on.
$9 meal. I mean, that's going to be the cheapest fucking meal we have the entire trip.
A burger with two chicken cheese quesadillas and a soda for $9.
Yeah. And cheer wine in there.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you can get cheer wine in there.
Is that alcoholic? What is
no.
It's
no.
Just
what
like,
is cheer wine?
It's kind of like a Dr. Peppery vibe. Oh, okay. You know what I mean?
I got
it's
Mr. Pibb. That was pretty badass.
That was pretty great, too. Yeah. Cheer wine's like a cherry flavored Dr. Pepper, maybe. Okay.
Take code. It's like Code Red Dr. Pepper.
Oh,
it's diabetes in a styrofoam cup.
The Southern folks love it here.
Oh, they go nuts. Yeah. It's like crack for them. Yeah, and they have a ton of milkshakes there, too. Cookout. I've never had cookout in the daylight. I've only had it late night.
Are they open 24 hours?
They're open late. They're open at like 4 a.m. Oh, it's really? Like the one late night staple in Midtown. So when you're hanging out at Losers or Red Door and you're hungry, they have food at late night food at Red Door, too. But if you want something different. Cookout kind of has the market. We did just get a Torchy's, though, as well.
Torchy's is badass.
We just got a Torchy's right down the road from Losers and Duck Blind.
Oh, shit.
So that's a game changer as well.
Fuck, it's like three taco places within 150 feet. I'm like, you know what we like in Nashville.
Yeah, can't complain.
Yeah, Texas is coming to Nashville. That's what you see in Austin.
For real, absolutely.
Honestly.
Yeah, for real.
Nuts. So what are some of the moments that you've had in the last like couple years where it's like, any maybe like a pinch me moment of like, damn, we're really doing this, or you know, it could be a release of a song, a show, you know, just interactions with someone.
Yeah. A lot of the times it's releasing songs. I mean, there's just something special about putting it all out there. I mean, at the end of the day, it's something you worked on, and you're proud enough to give it to the whole fucking world. So you better be proud enough of it to do that. So, I mean, I always think that's a cool moment, especially when it gets a good response. And just like, fuck, man, something we worked hard on to try and give the best product we could. And just seeing it do well is always a super special moment.
Yeah. On the production side, like, who do you work with for production?
We work with Taylor Kimball.
Sick.
Yeah, he does.
Makes total sense.
He's
that's great. Awesome. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
He's the guy in
absolutely.
Texas.
Yeah, we had gone to a few other cats for... bunch of our older stuff. Finally got connected with Taylor, and I just think he's
great.
Yeah, he's awesome. I think he knows the vibe we're going for, and is great at just working with the vibe of the band he's got. Because that's definitely something that's different with every producer, whether or not they just want to be their producer, stick to their sound, stick to their bread and butter, whatnot. But I mean, I think we're in Taylor's bread and butter for sure. But but it's great to see. Like he'll understand. He's understood our sound better than I think anyone else has that we've gone with, and we'll keep going to him for sure.
Yeah. So we know you got a song dropping. By the time this is out, it'll have been out.
Yeah.
Any more music plans down the road?
Yeah, for sure. We've got quite a bit of music out, or not out, sorry.
Well, you do have some, you do have quite a bit out. We
do have quite a bit of music out already at the moment, but we've got quite a bit we're sitting on. Kind of decided, I think we're just going to do it all as singles and kind of just... do about once a month.
Spread it out. Keep the fans.
Yeah.
Keep growing it.
Start doing a bunch of that TikTok bullshit that I love.
That's how
doing.
It works.
Honestly, bro, when somebody has as good of a live show as you and the boys have, and a lot of people do live shows, but you guys just, you boys fucking rock up there. Just post videos of the damn shows.
Yeah.
Honestly, that's your cheat code, man, because somebody sees a Cole Barnes, they're going to be a fan. Honestly, I promise.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, you just fucking throw some GoPros on the mics or something.
Yeah.
Just you guys rocking out, dude.
Hank match at the board pool.
I mean, yeah. We'll
talk about how to promote a song. Just
for sure.
Give them that live show.
Yeah. But we've got, I think we'll probably do another 8 songs at least this year.
That's sick.
We'll get dropped. So super excited about that. I think we got some really cool ones. We're doing the Psycho cover that's coming out tomorrow. But the one we're lining up to be next, probably mid to late March is when we'll get that rolling. We've already got all the promo and everything for it. So just waiting to get her out there, get her rolling. I'm super excited about that one.
Yeah.
But yeah, we've been working hard, getting her ready to go, trying to get all the promo stuff going and get it out there for y'all.
Yeah. What are some maybe pieces of advice or things you've kind of learned along the way of doing this music thing for someone that is? Because we do have a lot of like younger artists and songwriters that listen to the pod.
Oh, man. Don't listen to a lot of people.
Yeah.
Figure out the guys you can listen to and actually take advice from. There's going to be a bunch of people that are going to tell you, you should do this, you should do that, whatever. It's a bunch of guys that haven't done where you're trying to go.
Yeah.
That are always going to have the input. And it's always those guys that have the input. I mean, if you want if you want input from someone that's doing better than you, I mean, you can go ask them yourselves, but it always seems to be the people that are, you don't really need input from, that are going to be the ones that are trying to shove it down your fucking throat, that are telling you what you should and shouldn't do. But when in reality, there's no right key for everybody. I mean, everybody's situation is different. So find your lane and rock with it.
I love that.
Yeah.
Anything else that you want to talk about on the pod?
Oh man.
Any questions for us, Mr. Barnard?
We could be people that give you bad advice.
Yeah, we could be those people that give you bad advice.
I will take it.
We got all the bad advice in the world.
Man, no real questions. I don't know. A little Q&A. How'd you two meet?
Yeah. Through the internet, we became buddies. Like, I was coming to Nashville. Matt was already, like, living here. And I'd come to town, like, do podcasts, do takeovers.
Yeah, yeah.
But we really became buddies, like, maybe via DMs originally.
We really became buddies.
The DMs.
He did a takeover during CMA Fest of 2019 at then Live Oak, and me and my buddies went over there, and we became friends then, and then hung out at Red Door, and then what really was the catalyst was during COVID, and I got invited to tell him how you kept the Raised Rowdy train going, both on virtually and then in person in Ohio.
Yeah, we were, all of our friends went to shows every weekend. Like, that's what we did.
Yeah.
In different areas.
Uh-huh.
So none of us were doing that. And we were like, what the fuck do we do?
Yeah.
So we were doing Zoom calls and just, like, hanging out on Zoom calls, drinking, talking Bro, about the music that came out.
Flip cup on Zoom. Yeah. And I'm not a drinker. So I'm ripping my, when they're taking drinks, I'm ripping my dad pen. I have like pictures on my phone of us during, and it's like everybody, like guys got like their, everybody's got like their Raised Rowdy hats on. People got like American flag bandanas, cut off shirts on. Like, you look like you're going to a concert.
Just being idiots.
But you're just playing flip cup. And that's how I got to know Nick and the rest of like the OG Rowdy crew.
Fuck yeah.
And then summer camp. Tell them about summer camp.
So we had every year we'd gone to country concert at Festival in Ohio. It's the weekend after the 4th of July every year. And we've went for a buddy's bachelor party and just never stopped going. Like, some people stopped going, but like a different version of the crew went every year. Well, now we get to work with that festival.
Oh,
but
dude, that's awesome.
We had that weekend in the books of like everybody kind of hangs out. So there was no festival because it was COVID.
Oh, shit.
Because you couldn't put more than 40 people together outside. Yeah. So we went to a campground that weekend where you could have 40 people outside together, brought up some of our buddies from Nashville, had them play acoustic with a one JBL speaker in a little fucking box. And we all paid them, you know, like everybody pitched in like $40 and we gave most of it to the artist and some of it to the food and beer that we bought.
Fuck yeah.
And sounds we just like partied.
Damn good time.
And then we did the second one. Everyone was like, well, what are we going to do now? Like, what do we have to look forward to now? And I was like, bro, like, this was so much work putting this together.
Summer camp two.
So we did a second one. And that's when Matt came up. It was a little bit closer to Nashville.
Yeah.
Still pretty far, but
yeah, it was in
Ohio.
It was in like a backyard, but the backyard was like, the house was like up on the hill. And then like you go down the hill and then it was just open field. So you didn't even know you were in a neighborhood.
Yeah.
Or at least if you got... if you got high enough, you didn't know you were in a neighborhood, you know. And it was a lot of fun. And then shortly after that, Nick was able to move to town because he got the okay to work remotely on his day job.
It was one of those things, man, where it was like community. That's what Raised Rowdy's been.
Yeah.
Like before Raised Rowdy was a thing, it was just our buddies that would go to shows together.
That's so cool.
You know, and they were, all my friends were like, you need to figure out something to do in the music world. And I'm like, yeah, that doesn't exist. Like, I have, like, a real day job. Like, that's just a pipe dream.
Yeah.
Well, here we are fucking doing it.
Yeah, I mean, did you ever expect this shit?
No.
And if you would have told me what we're doing right now is what we would be doing, I would laugh at you, too.
Smoking meth.
Yeah.
pay money to do this stuff.
Yeah.
The fact
that
we get to... get to pay the bills, you know.
We're squeaking by
but get to do this shit. It's like Nick and I have talked about how there's like moments where Nick has looked at me and been like, you know, we have buddies that would pay to do what we're doing.
Absolutely
And stuff like that really brings me back to earth a little bit too. Like, dude, we just get incredible experiences, but it's on the backs of the hard work that we're doing,
for sure,
you
for
know
sure.
So it's like we are putting in the labor to get the ability to have great experiences.
Absolutely.
Like, bro, if you would have told me that I'd be interviewing artists when I was 25, I'd be interviewing artists that I think are incredible about their music, I would tell you you're fucking nuts. Yeah. Right? Yeah, I was just a guy that loved music.
Yeah.
You know? So it's just, in my head, like, meeting Matt, finally, like, I found someone that fucking was as passionate about this thing as I was and wanted to be on the front lines.
Yeah, that's
you
awesome.
Know what I mean?
For sure.
Yeah.
It's been super awesome getting to work.
Yeah, because the fact that we get to tag team it makes it a lot easier. Doing this solo.
Oh, yeah.
Be a lot, bro.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, not just a lot, but like, dude, there's times where I'm down and I'm like, fuck. And Matt's like, all right, I got this. And there's times where he's down and I'm like, all right, I got this.
Yeah.
Just having that fucking brother in arms
for
that,
sure.
You know, you're going to war with, you know, has your back. Whether we're giving each other shit or annoyed with each other.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Big brother, little brother. Yeah. That's how it works.
How it works.
Yeah.
But
for
it's been such a blessing. And dude, just getting to be a small piece of this musical world that not just I love so much, but so many people love so much. It's just been such a blessing.
Absolutely, man. And I can tell y'all, I mean, from me and from a bunch of other artists, that we appreciate what y'all do. And I mean,
we
just actually caring about the music and caring about the artist and just wanting to get music y'all like out there. I mean, can't ask for more than that. So
dude, that's
for sure. Really appreciate y'all.
For the people, by the people. We just are kind of like suits now.
Yeah, we're like the guys that show up to the party in like the tuxedo t-shirt. You know, that's our business casual.
Absolutely.
That's where we're
absolutely
at.
Nuts.
It's the way to be.
Dude, it's been a blessing, and it's been a blessing getting to watch you grow from, you know, the first time I saw you guys rock the shit out of that Live Oak show on a Friday to now, like, getting to see you going on the road with Austin Mead and having songs out with fucking Treaty Oak Revival.
Yeah.
Like, just so incredible,
it's
man.
It's been awesome, dude. Yeah, for sure.
I'm more blessed that we, one, got to do this with you today, but two, the show tonight at the Basement, and then the show next week with Austin.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're getting to see you twice in like a week's time.
All around
which
Nashville,
which is awesome.
Baby. Yeah.
Yep.
It's going to be badass.
It's going to be kick ass.
So cool, man.
For sure.
We appreciate you being here with us and taking the time after your long ass ride up here.
Absolutely.
Sit
thank
down
y'all
with
for
us,
having
man.
Me, y'all.
Of course.
Really appreciate it.
Well, guys, I'm Nikki T.
And I'm Matt Barrill.
And we'll see you in the front row.